Welcome to Tilly's Trans Tuesdays. Here we go with Tilly's 2024 Trans Rep in Media Part 2, TV Part 1. We dive into every complete season of TV I saw last year and take a look at the trans representation therein. There shall be spoilers. Hi, I'm Tilly Bridges, your host, and I'm joined by my writing partner, my best friend, my wife, our token cis representation, the pepperoni on my pizza, Susan Bridges.
I accept it.
You're the spice. Okay. Again, our returning guest is Jesse Earle, whose bio you're well acquainted with by now. Welcome back, Jesse.
Hello. I'm glad to be back.
Okay, so now I want to know what was the most surprising thing about your transition.
Ooh, most surprising thing. This one I actually didn't prepare. I think probably I was gonna say the usual one I go to is the mundanity of it too, but I already spoke about that for the most positive thing. I will just say like the fun that I had going looking for clothing.
Oh yeah,
that aspect of it, because it was always just a big stressor for me.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, yeah, I can, like, actually go and have fun doing all of this
stuff. This can be fun, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So mm-hmm. I think that would probably be the biggest surprising thing off the top of my head. Yeah, yeah.
No, I totally get that because I hated shopping for clothes. I was like, whatever, just whatever. Mm-hmm. How can I get out of here as fast as possible?
Yeah. I remember, like, when I was younger, like, as a kid, when my mom would take me, I was like, I just want to go. I want to get out of here. I don't want to do these things. And then now it's like, oh, I'll spend, like, an entire day just shopping for, like, ways to express myself. I think that it goes, like, to the core thing of, like, oh, yeah, I actually, like, want to care about how the world perceives me now, because I actually care about my body and myself and who I am, as opposed to before it was like, I could care less. I can't be who I want to be, so why bother caring about this aspect of it? So
yeah, exactly right. I even found that extended further to like actually taking care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know,
oh,
like,
yeah. Oh yeah,
I never used it. Now I've got like 2 different lotions for my face and 2 different ones
yep.
for my eyes. And I put moisturizer on my arms when they get dry. And I never used to do anything. I didn't give a shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was really bad about like brushing my teeth, which not much better. But I used to like, and this is not body shaming anyone. For me, it was unhealthy. Like I weighed 300 pounds at one point. And then when I started transitioning, I lost like pretty quickly. Like I lost like, and I started going to the gym and everything and eating better. And I lost like 150 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a lot. And again, that's not shaming anyone who is 300 pounds. There can be healthy weights where that's okay. Like there's many different complex things. For me, it was a sign of me not caring about my body.
Yeah. Yeah, I had the same thing. One of the first things I did before I could actually begin like medically and socially transitioning was exercise
mm-hmm.
because I had the quote unquote dad bod and I hated it so much. And I'm
mm-hmm.
like, this is a quote unquote socially acceptable thing I can do to start my transition and no one will know that's what I'm doing. But for me, it made a difference because that was a dude body and I needed to get away from it and find my lady body. So
I
totally get it. Okay, if you missed the 2024 Trans Rep in Media Part 1 movies in episode 97 last week, you should check that out first. All right, on with TV. The Acolyte, Season 1. 1. Trans woman and big YouTuber Abigail Thorne is in episode 3 as part of the Force Witch Coven of All Women, which is great, although she only has a few lines and is not mentioned as trans. She's also in episode 7, has one line, again no mention of being trans. If you're not already familiar with her, you'd have no way to know that the Force Witch Coven included trans women, too.
I will say, like, complicated feelings on The Acolyte. Like, I think it's a messy show. It got overly criticized by the, you know.
It sure did.
Anti-woke nonsense, yeah, because, oh, how dare black women and queer folks write a show and be in a show, especially a Star Wars thing, because Heaven
They're
forbid
just
Star Wars
mad that it
ever.
had the sexiest Sith ever. That's
Oh,
all.
God,
I'm not even into dudes, okay, but my God.
Oh my God,
Man,
yes,
he
hell
just
yeah,
didn't know.
yes. But
Calm down a little. You are too hot.
what I do really like, this is gonna be a whole other discussion. I do really like that the show, again, messy, it had some issues, but was very much just having this interesting discussion about how queerness is seen by establishment folks, about
Yeah.
how like you have like the coven that Abigail Thorne is a part of is a very queer coded, very egalitarian coded, very matriarchal coded, and very black coded, not even though it's not just exclusively black, but like marginalized coded and black
Yeah.
led coven that is seen by the Jedi, the establishment, like the Republic, as dark side, and just as dark side as the aforementioned hot Sith, who is like an active fascist. Like he is an
Yeah.
active fascist. And so it's this interesting thing about how like queer people are seen as just as dangerous by establishment
Yeah. Yeah.
as fascists are. And so that weird horseshoe theory nonsense sort of thing. So it's like the show is messy and it obviously had its faults that were hyper criticized. But I do think like the core themes of it are really, really cool. And I really had a lot of positive things about the core ideas of that show.
Yeah, I liked it a lot too. And you know what? One of the faults, though, is that you put Carrie Ann Moss in your show and then you kill her in episode
I
one. Get out of town.
know.
Get
How
out of
dare you
town.
do that to Trinity? Ugh, yeah,
Unacceptable.
I know. Don't put Trinity in a corner. Come on.
Agatha all along. Zero. In episode two, when Agatha is recruiting lady witches into her coven, her pitch to one of them, again, a woman, is, I need a potions guy. This isn't a joke and it's not an intentional misgendering, but it again shows you how the use of that very gendered word to apply to people of all genders has permeated culture. And to me, it's going to stick out every single time. It happens again later when the ladies find out Agatha's ex, a woman, is death incarnate, and she says, I like the bad boys. The show is overall very queer. It has the MCU's first lesbian kiss and first gay man kiss, and in the finale, there's a trans pride flag that says Trans Lives Matter in Billy's room. He's not trans, although he did appear in drag as Maleficent in one episode, and he looked fabulous. This was actually the doing of actor Joe Locke, who had the flag added to the set for his character's bedroom. It is such a small thing, but to see it there in something from the MCU is way more huge than it should be. We need cis accomplices to do a whole lot more of this, including taking it further and helping trans actors get added to the cast and trans writers to the writing staff. But this was a lovely gesture, and it meant a lot to a bunch of people. There's an article in the show notes about it.
I'll also say too, I read his character as a trans allegory too, in a lot of ways, of like, oh, you
It
had
definitely
a
could be, yeah.
death and like the character died and then feel like you're different, your parents don't understand you, they don't
Not
see
knowing who
you.
you are, and yeah,
Yep,
there's a whole
trying
lot there.
so there's definitely a lot there that I really and also without spoiling too much, there's a I think the penultimate or second no, the third from the end episode is one of the best episodes of TV this year. The time one. And I thought it was such a cool intentional or unintentional, look at how queer people view time and the sort of like connection to our past and future and who we want to be, who we were, and just this like looking at our life unraveling through different
Yeah.
aspects of time in a really cool way. So I thought like while the show doesn't have an overt trans rep, it is pervasive with queer and trans themes, which I really
It
like.
is. I think it's my favorite MCU thing to date, too. It's so good.
I would definitely put it up there.
Bad Batch, Season 3, 0. The Bear, Season 3, 0. In two episodes, Jimmy the Mob Guy says, F my tits, as an exclamation when he's pissed off, because it's again funny for men to have breasts. Les sigh. It's the same joke, but it's used twice, so I'm counting it as two, really hoping this doesn't become his recurring catchphrase.
It's fascinating sitting here having you catalog all these because I hear them all the time, but
Yeah.
just like you just see how pervasive it is. Is like, oh, look how lazy this joke is. Like,
Right. And that's the thing, too, as a writer, I'm like, you could write something so much funnier. That is such a lazy joke to make. You could, oh, come on, come on.
That's always my problem with so many like aspects of trans stuff. It's like it's not only is it like it's like half the time it's not offensive to me. It's just like, man, this is just lazy.
It's so lazy.
So
Write a
like, it's
better
offensive to me.
joke.
It's offensive to me as a writer, not as a trans person.
Yeah. Delicious in Dungeon, Season 1, 0. Okay, but there's some complicated stuff to talk about. In one episode, Marcile wants to clean herself, and as the only girl in their adventuring party, she says she should have cast an illusion spell first. So she imagines her head on a big, hairy, muscular man's body. It is played for laughs, and it's definitely laughing at the concept of someone you thought was a woman actually having the body of a man. Stealth implicit transphobia joke. In another episode, there are quote-unquote dryad flowers that look like naked women, and they're described as quote-unquote male and female, but they're monsters who try to kill our heroes, so the dryad flowers are killed, and the characters then eat their fruit, which looks like pumpkins with human faces. Listen, it's a weird show, but this was the closest it got to having trans characters, and they were monsters to be murdered, and that ain't great. They're also introduced in an incredibly sexual manner when nothing else in the show is, as trickster temptresses, hitting some bad, bad trans woman tropes there. In another episode, they discover a mushroom that changes humans into other races like elves or dwarves and gargoyles into statues, etc. They surmise that it does this to transform someone into something its own people will fear so that they will be abandoned and die, which also seems to imply some bad things about trans people, even if accidentally. At least the dryads aren't a joke, but they hit bad, bad trans tropes, and I'm counting them as bad representation. I really love this show, but it's got some hidden regressive ideas on gender baked in there. Echo. Zero. Fallout. Season 1. 1. The character of Dane is non-binary, and they-them pronouns are used. It's a small role, only in a few episodes, but they're played by Zelia Mendez-Jones, who is trans and uses he-they pronouns. Right on. Hacks. Season 1. 0. There's a recurring joke throughout the entire show about Ava's quote-unquote big hands, which very much feels like laughing at the idea of a woman having something generally associated with men. A lot of trans women who transition as adults have big hands, like me, and let me tell you, every time there's a joke about Ava's hands, I winced. This happens a lot, but I didn't think to count them, so I can only count it as one joke. Hacks, Season 2. 0. In the second episode of the season, Ava is reading an email she wrote with something to the effect of, quote, "Hey, y'all, I'm trying not to use gendered terms, even though, hey, guys, seems natural to me." Yes, this is a good joke and not at our expense. It's at hers for not getting it, and also pokes fun at the usage of male terms treated as neutral by our heavily patriarchal misogynist society. I thought that was fabulous. But then, in the season finale, two jokes are made where the punchline seems to be, "Women with penises isn't that funny." This came up a lot in last year's Trans Rep and Media report, and here it is again. It's one of the most common stealth-implicit transphobic jokes, laughing at the very idea of the reality a lot of trans women live with. And it's the other side of the men with boobs, so funny joke we've already seen pop up a few times this year. But you know what? Our existence and our bodies aren't jokes. This shit's gotta stop. Hacks, Season 3. 0. In Episode 3, Ava finds out DJ, a friend, is pregnant and says, "I'm going to be an uncle." I guess because she's bi, she can't call herself an aunt? I don't know. It's a self-misgendering joke. Stop it! In another episode, some old guys complain about how there's quote-unquote 15 genders and how my daughter's boyfriend looks like my ex-wife and such. They're clearly presented as being in the wrong, just so Deborah can call them out on being out of touch. But this is the same show that made women with penises our hilarious joke, so it rings a bit hollow. In any case, it's more jokes about us in a show that features none of us, which isn't great. I'm going to count them all as just one joke in the tally. In the second to last episode of the season, which is all about Deborah confronting terrible bigoted jokes she made in her past, she keeps saying about the people who got upset that, quote, "they're minorities." Ava says, quote, "you really shouldn't call them that." And Deborah says, quote, "I thought everyone was they now," which is just another pronoun joke. Come on. In the season finale, Jimmy is pleading with Kayla to stay and be his partner, in business, not romance, and he kneels down, they're on a plane, because a flight attendant told him he couldn't stand in the aisle. And then another passenger thinks he's proposing and apologizes for thinking he was a man because he said partner and not wife. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it for half a second, that's just another misgendering joke that didn't need to be there. Like, why? This is one of those situations where I love this show for so many reasons, but damn, they need some trans people on staff because it really shows that they do not.
Mm-hmm.
Has Been Hotel, Season 1, 0. The show is about demons in hell, and none of them really have human form, so it's impossible to say if any of them were intended to be trans, but none of them were mentioned as trans, and as far as I could tell, there are no trans cast members. I really love that show, though. It's got really great songs.
Yeah, it's also really interesting, too, because the other show by the same creator that's technically in the same universe.
Yeah,
Hell of a
I've
Boss.
Not seen it yet, but I've heard it has a trans character, right?
Yeah, trans character, yeah. Trans cast as well. I know some of them, too, because they were in Abigail Thorne's film Dracula's Ex-Girlfriend, which is also on Nebula. Sign up there. Which in Abigail Thorne's on Nebula in my film as well. So like I know some of the folks on the show,
Yeah.
and they have a huge queer and trans cast and members of their crew as well. So it's just interesting. It is interesting to me that there are not trans characters on the Has-Been Hotel show, which
The
is the
one that
one
got picked
that's.
up for mass distribution. Yeah.
Yep,
Yeah.
exactly. That's
Isn't
interesting to
that a
me.
coincidence? Yeah. Heartstopper season 3, 5. Still our stalwart of trans rep and still excellently done across the board. Elle, a trans girl, played by trans woman Yasmin Finney, is still a main character. In season 2, the show introduced the trans school principal and a trans girl and non-binary kid as her classmates, and they all reappear. They're small parts, but they show up in multiple episodes. Isaac continues exploring his asexuality and discovers he's also aromantic. As I mentioned last year, this is not trans rep, but it is so rare to see that I wanted to mention it again. In this season, the character of Darcy comes out as non-binary and decides to use they/them pronouns. Darcy is played by Kizzy Edgell, who is trans masc and uses he/him and they/them pronouns. And I thought the egg-cracking realization and coming out were all very well done. In the Christmas slash New Year's Eve episode, Darcy talks to Elle's non-binary friend about exploring gender and having fun with it, which was cool. In the same episode, Elle wants to have sex with her boyfriend Tao, but when he touches her, it makes her feel dysphoric. And then she describes dissociating. If you need more on that, see the episodes on the trans allegory of I Saw the TV Glow beginning in episode 81 of this podcast. Elle then talks to her trans lady friend about those feelings and not knowing what to do about it. And during her talk with Tao about it, they use the word trans openly and like it's not a big deal. And I wish that didn't feel revolutionary, but it sure as hell does. This is it. This is all we're asking for. Treat us like human beings, just like all the cis characters. Damn, that episode felt like a miracle. In another episode, Elle goes on a radio show that ostensibly wants to talk about her art, but immediately switches to asking about the trans debate and feminists who say trans women don't belong in women's spaces. And that was wild, because pretty often when I was doing interviews to promote my book Begin Transmission, it would turn into a Trans 101 discussion and I'd be peppered with questions about trans existence. And I was happy to answer those and discuss and get that kind of basic information out there, but that's a separate thing from very specifically talking about my writing and a book that was released. And I get it, the book is about the trans experience as seen through the lens of the Matrix films, but still, it is a thing that happens and rang very true.
I do want to pause here. So I have not actually watched Heartstopper. I know I need to change that. People have revoked my trans card for it. I know I'm
It's
terrible.
the sweetest warm hug of a show. It just makes me feel good every time.
I do want to watch it. That being said, I did watch this episode about the radio interview.
Yeah.
And one element that I really liked about it was it showcased how there is this antagonistic aspect to when trans people get to talk about our art. Because
Yeah.
like not only is it like it's not even just that that discussion on that episode is like a trans 101 discussion instead of about her art, but the creator of the show that's interviewing her is very clearly got some TERF style
Yeah,
beliefs
right. It
that
is
she
more
is trying.
hostile.
Yeah, it's a
Yeah.
very hostile, and like it gets revealed to be hostile. And one of the things that I've had happen, like I've done my research, so I've generally found been able to avoid this, but I've seen
Yeah.
other trans folks have to enter into it, and I know I've had opportunities to enter into it where you'll get like an email, an opportunity to be like, come on our show to talk about whatever, Star Trek or whatever you want to talk about, but it turns out the host is intentionally hostile and trying to get you to
Yeah.
say something to use against you.
Right.
Like, for example, I got asked to be on like a bunch of different shows that did that. The Daily Wire is known to do this as a tactic. Like Matt Walsh has done
Yeah.
like his terrible transphobic documentaries,
Yep.
quote unquote documentaries, where they tricked trans people into being on and used that against them. So it is a common tactic by anti-trans people to present themselves as neutral on trans issues and then become immediately hostile and use language that appears neutral so people who don't know better but will catch trans people off guard. And I think that this episode did not only got at that really well, but showcased how it's like to a trans kid as
Yeah.
well, who like is not prepared, like even any trans person, adult or not, would not be as easily prepared for something as surprising as that. But like a kid especially who
Yeah,
wants
a
to share her
teenager in
art.
high school, they're not right. Yeah.
So like I thought
Yeah.
that that episode got like that was like that's all of that is super complex to
Yeah.
like get into like a kid dealing with it, the hostility of it, talking about art, like all that's really complex, and they did it really well in a single episode. So have not seen the whole show, but I did watch that episode, and like I thought they handled it super, super well.
Yeah, well, I should say that we've watched all three seasons of the show, and every episode, because it's made in the UK, is written by the creator, who is the same lady that wrote all the comics that it's based on. So she's written all of it. And as far as I know, she is a cis woman, and that is remarkable because she is getting the trans rep absolutely nailed year after year, and that is so good.
Yeah, it can be
It
done. You can
can be done.
actually have
She's probably
empathy
talked
and
to trans people and learned from them.
yep,
Wild.
I know. What a
Imagine.
strange, strange concept.
Yeah. Anyway, I would die for Nick and Charlie. They are my sweet, perfect gay babies. And Elle is so dear to me. Heartstopper continues to be the goat of trans rep in modern TV right now, which means whenever it ends, the already paltry trans rep on TV numbers are going to plummet if we don't get a lot more soon. Interior Chinatown, Zero, one of the most imaginative and original shows ever, and it's super, super great. Interview with the Vampire, Season 1, Zero. Interview with the Vampire, Season 2, Zero. Chaos, Season 1, 5. Oh, Chaos, How Did I Love Thee? A brilliant show about the Greek gods as set in the 80s or 90s, somewhere in there. Created by Charlie Koval, who is non-binary. This is the only show I'm aware of that I watched in all of 2024 with a trans or non-binary creator and showrunner. And you know what happens when we run our own shows? The trans rep is effing amazing. One of the main characters is Caneus, a trans man played by trans man Mysia Butler. In episode 6, we get to see Caneus's top surgery scars. We see a flashback about how he had to leave the Amazons, the all-women warriors from Greek mythology, because he was a boy, which it turns out is also why the Amazons killed him because he went back to them, which isn't allowed. They didn't kill him because he's trans, but because he wasn't a woman, which is weirdly affirming. I should add that his story takes place in the underworld after his death, because this is Greek mythology, and so his death was not actually the end of his story, and it doesn't carry the same issues as trans characters always getting killed off. In a flashback, his mom tells him she knows, quote, the form doesn't fit the content, but she loves him. He's also a romantic lead and never doubts who he is or has to figure it out and come out. He's just a cool, good, trans guy who gets to be a bit of a hero. It's amazing. Susie Eddie Izzard, who is trans, is also in the show as one of the Fates. Che, who is non-binary, is another one of the Fates, and Sam Buttery, who is trans, plays the last Fate. And what a wild thing to see that the Fates, the three beings in Greek mythology with power over everyone and everything, even the other gods, be played by trans and non-binary people. What a powerful statement, because who has more control over our lives than trans people do? It was extraordinary, unheard of. Sadly, the show was canceled not long after it debuted, so this one season is all we're going to get. Which is sad because I think it was a great show, but also because it had fabulous trans rep that we've now already lost.
I would totally watch a show about the Fates.
They were so good.
Right? They were
Yeah.
so good.
They
They
were
need
so
to
much
watch.
fun.
So good.
One thing that's weird, I did not know this was a non-binary creator, and I didn't watch it because I heard it got canceled almost immediately after it came out. So I was like, oh, so I don't know if I want to invest in it. Now I actually will, but like it goes to show you like how little this show is marketed and discussed. It's
Yeah,
really
it is
upsetting.
depressingly good.
It is. It's like,
It's
it's
just,
such a good show. Now,
it's so
I should
sad.
mention, it does end on a cliffhanger. They were clearly setting up a
Yeah.
lot more stories, and so that's going to be unresolved, but it is really good. The trans rep is amazing, and like Jeff Goldblum's amazing in it, and all of the
Oh,
other
yeah, because of that
actors are really
planning,
amazing.
yeah.
It's so good. It's a really, really great show. It's
I will
a
check it.
genius reinterpretation of Greek myth.
I will check it out. Like the ending on the cliffhanger doesn't generally bother me. I mean, I'm still there's still shows back from the early 2000s and that I'm like still
Same.
like I want an ending.
Carnival.
Threshold was my big one as a kid that I wanted an end to. Yeah.
Wow,
So,
terrible.
yep.
Lessons in Chemistry, Zero. Loot Season 2, 1. Okay, we're going to get into it now.
Yeah, this one,
Let's get
yeah.
into it. MJ Rodriguez, a trans woman, returns as a main cast member, but is again never mentioned as trans. And in this season, it feels like they went out of their way multiple times to not mention that she's trans. In episode 3, she's explaining the societal pressure she's under, and she says, quote, I'm a 36-year-old Afro-Latina woman, end quote. And why do you not say trans in there when she's literally describing everything about herself and how her societal marginalizations impact her life? It was glaring to leave her transness out of it. Is the show trying to hide it? Is the character she's playing cis? It feels like that's the conclusion I have to come to, because to leave transness out of a list of parts of your identity that society puts extra pressure on you for is pretty huge. In another episode, they make a point of showing an all-gender bathroom, but the sign on the door has a man, woman, and a half-man, half-woman silhouette, which always makes me feel a little weird. And then, in the same episode, they're planning a trip to Dubai, and MJ's character is excited. But Dubai is in the United Arab Emirates, where being trans is literally criminalized, so her character has to be cis, right? But then, in another episode, MJ's character is talking to someone about going to camp as kids, and they talk around ever saying she was a little girl or with the other girls, or if she'd maybe been put with the boys because it was pre-transition. But if the character is cis, why not just say she was with the little girls at camp? I mean, her character can be trans and still have been with the little girls at camp if you just make her story that she transitioned as a kid. So now
but
it
they
feels,
don't say it either way.
They don't say it either way.
Yeah,
weird.
That's weird.
So it feels very much like they're just talking around it all, and I cannot figure it out. I'm counting the actor rep, but not the character. And I shall remain stymied as to what they're actually doing with her character and why they seem to be working so hard to hide MJ's transness. I also want to mention that in episode 2, there is another trans woman as a background actor in a scene in a bar. But I only know this because I know her personally and recognized her. Welcome to working in Hollywood and living in LA. Hi, Cameron. Anyway, she doesn't have any lines or anything, so I can't really count that as trans rep in the show. But I know she's there.
But yeah, it's all very weird.
I haven't seen this show, but like it feels like this is my inclination. I don't know if this is what's actually happening. So like this is big speculation time. But it really feels like that's a like studio thing, or like a you can't mention their trans thing because someone somewhere is about like we can't touch this hot button issue because it's too political, da, 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 da. Some producer or some lead writer or some executive producer, some studio, like someone in a position of power to make that decision has
that happens all the time,
that decision, and it's just made glaringly obvious by the fact that like the actor is trans. So it's like
she's a very famous trans woman.
Yeah.
So there's not that many of us, right? And so she's one of them, and you're not. It's so weird.
Yeah. That if I had to speculate, that is probably the case. But like I don't know. So and I also haven't seen the show, so I don't know. But like from what you're telling me, that's super strange, and that's the only possible explanation I can come up with. Someone in power somewhere is saying you can't make it explicit for whatever. It's too political reason.
Yep.
Nonsense.
A man on the inside, 0. Some teens repeatedly call their mom bro, and Ted Danson calls his daughter and her 3 sons guys. The first is played for laughs, the latter isn't, but again, this is how our society works, right?
Wow.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith, season 1, 0. Monster High, season 2, 2. Monster High continued to have non-binary character Frankie as one of the 3 leads, still played by non-binary actor Iris Menace. And then, of course, Susan and I wrote 6 episodes for the season, 4 of which were the Halloween special Monster Fest. Have I mentioned before that we wrote for Monster High? We totally did. And I mention our Monster Fest special because we got to introduce a new trans woman character to the show, Phoenix.
Woo!
I know I've talked before. Thank you. I know I've talked before in these about how phoenixes are very trans conceptually, one form of you dying in the ashes, so a new you can be reborn. So it was the perfect monster type for the character to be, and she was played by trans woman Dominique Jackson. And the entire MonsterFest storyline is about being true to yourself and being who you truly are, not who anyone else says you have to be. It is very trans. John Waters also did a voice for it. Check it out, why don't ya? And we're going to wrap it there this week. Thanks for being here, Jesse.
Thank you for having me.
Come back next week for the rest of our discussion on trans rep and TV, as well as how things look overall and where we're at compared to the past 2 years. Tilly Bridges and Transmission. Tilly's Trans Tuesdays is hosted by Tilly Bridges and Susan Bridges, with audio editing and sound mixing by Jillian Morgan. The written essay version of this week's topic and all past topics is available at tillystranstuesdays.com. Special thanks to Daisy and Jane for the use of Sorry Not Sorry as our show's theme music. Please stop by and show your support at daisyandjane.bandcamp.com and soundcloud.com/daisyandjane. You can find me at Tilly Bridges on Blue Sky and on Mastodon at Tilly Bridges at mastodon.social And you can find Susan on those at Susan L. Bridges. You can find Jillian at Audio Jillian on Blue Sky. You can join the Tillyverse Discord server by following the link at the very bottom of TillysTransTuesdays.com. We hold regular watch parties for the Matrix films and other trans movies where I do a live Q&A, and it's blossomed into a wonderfully supportive, compassionate, kind community of friends. We'd love to have you join us. If you'd like to keep up with all the writing that Susan and I do, you can sign up for our newsletter at birdguestbroadcast.com. If you enjoy this show, please take a moment to leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. The largest segment of our listeners find the show there, and more reviews equals a higher profile, which means it will reach more of the people who need it. Thank you for your support. For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening.